Do you mind spelling your name for us?
N-A-K-A-S-H-I-M-A.
John, tell me about the moment when you said to yourself that it would be your life's labor to make films, to produce, edit, to work in the documentary and film industry. Do you remember, was there a specific moment, an epiphany for you when you had, when that light turned on?
Well, I kind of evolved into it. You know, I was one of the early videographers in Morgantown. Other people just wanted to shoot film, and I was like the young kid who would shoot video. And, you know, I worked with a lot of producers and a lot of intern reporters. And I got, over the years, I got fed up with it. And I said, you know, we ought to be doing something more significant, you know. So that's when I wormed my way into editing documentaries for other producers. And then I just started taking on my own documentaries. And that's when we did that first series called Vandalia Sampler, which was a whole bunch of documentaries. And that was a great training ground because we were just doing documentary after documentary about the arts mainly. But that was two whole seasons of documentaries. There were people here. The edit rooms here at 3 a.m. were all full editing those documentaries.
Yeah, wow. So there wasn't really one specific moment in time, it seems. It evolved over time, and your feelings evolved over time on what you would choose to do with your career.
Well, it was the time of magazine shows, and it's like evening magazine show time back in the '80s, and there were magazine shows everywhere, and I knew that if you did a documentary could go a lot deeper than a 5-minute magazine piece.
Yeah, and one of the documentaries that you made is called Mountaineer, and something that has always interested me is that we have here in you a native Iowan coming to West Virginia and making a film about what it means to be a West Virginian. Why did you decide to make that film and ask that particular question?
Well, I didn't see anything else like it. You know, I didn't see kind of an encyclopedic look at mountain culture. And I also saw the opportunity to, you know, there's all these hillbilly stereotypes in Hollywood, and I was asking everybody I knew, what's the most appalling hillbilly stereotype thing you've seen on TV or in a movie, I'm trying to find that. And, we collected hundreds. We even got the little Bugs Bunny characters doing a scene from Deliverance, which was pretty amazing. But anyway, it was about, you know, I always call Mountaineer my opus to West Virginia. It was kind of a gift. It was a gift to me to be able to do it. And it was a gift to the people of West Virginia. It was kind of a love letter to West Virginia. Especially after doing, like, you know, some of the different drummers weren't so much love letters. And but Mountaineer was definitely a love letter. And it, you know, when you do documentaries, one of the things I like about documentaries is you get to find the best people that exist, if they're within driving distance, in the topic. And you get to, you know, you get to have this privileged conversation with these people, and you get to share that with people who, you know, you ordinarily wouldn't be able to sit at the kitchen table with Irene McKinney, with Irene McKinney, and or Denise Giardina, or you know, all John Williams, you know, all the great people I interviewed, Kate Long, and have them give their best arguments about why West Virginia is so fantastic, and give like really in-depth analysis that, you know, you could only present in a documentary because it takes a long time to spit out those concepts. And to gather it all together, you know, to kind of build a matrix of contrasting and complementary concepts. It's you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to be in a position to do that, it's a wonderful thing. Yep.
What to you is, what makes great filmmaking or storytelling in this art form that is, you know, the visual arts of, maybe filmmaking is the wrong word to use, but documentary film, what is on your list of criteria to make it a great film?
Well, you know, my list is kind of different from other people. You know, what I do, in a way, it's kind of like a TED Talk kind of thing. It's a bunch. I'm really interested in the concepts, and like having people explain the world to us, and having the best people around explain the world to us, because you don't often get that. And then just to beautifully present it somehow, or to present the complexity of it. And, you know, I always try to make things entertaining, too. There's always, like, little tongue-in-cheek things in my things. And I like to do, I'm a real editor, and I like to do little editing tricks that you might not realize what's going on, but you know, they work. They're things that I've discovered work. So, you know, it's, like I say, it is kind of a matrix. It's a matrix of how to see the world, both physically see the world and how to see the world, through ideas.
What was your favorite project that you've worked on while being here for nearly 40 years? Was it Mountaineer? It seems like that might be the case.
Yeah, Mountaineer was the best. And, you know, we just got to go so many places. And it began inauspiciously. Well, I'm sure you can't use this. We pulled into Williamson, and a whole family of dogs had been run over like seconds before. And people were looking at me like, is this an omen for how this documentary is going to go? But it wasn't an omen. It was just some dark that happened. you know, one of my favorite things that I did over the years is the simplest thing I did. And it was Steve Lawson and Betsy Lawson. And I went to their house at sunrise. And they have an incredible bird feeder. And I just recorded their voices, and we just looked at what birds were flying up to their feeder. And that was like just a 6-minute thing, and it was just beautiful in its simplicity.
What was it used for?
It's a magazine show, of course.
So a magazine show found some significance in your career.
I've done every magazine show done in the last 30 years. Yeah. I've lost track of the number of magazine shows.
I wanted to backtrack to ask you, you know, I had asked that question about your favorite project, but I had kind of set the parameters for while working here. But this award is about your entire body of work as a filmmaker, not just the time that you've been here. So I'm still assuming, though, that Mountaineer would be your favorite project. I mean, just, you know.
Well, yeah, I've done a lot of different kinds of projects, you know, like working with Irene McKinney, just doing radio pieces, sitting in this very room here, not knowing what was going to come out of her mouth next. We did like 30 radio pieces, I believe, and those were really special moments, and we became really close.
The two of you, I know the two of you were very close, and you're actually working now on a box set of her works. Mm-hmm. Does it add any kind of pressure, do you feel, because you knew her so well and now that she's gone, does it even feel more personal to you to work on something like that? Is it difficult to, I guess, remove your personal beliefs about someone from a project? Let me ask you that.
Well, it's one of the jobs of a documentary person to take what you're doing very seriously and to not like waste footage or waste an interview, you know, to see the value in what you have or to find out what you have is garbage, you know. But you really have to respect your material. And I forget the question.
No, I was just wondering, I mean, is it difficult, does it add any more pressure when you're so close to the person that, you know, that you're doing this project on? I mean, Irene was your friend and she's no longer with us. So, I mean, is it even harder to do projects like that when you're so closely emotionally invested in the subject?
Well, everything I do, I'm emotionally close to,
some of the magazine shows.
Well, all the documentaries I've done, I've been very emotionally close to the material. Mm-hmm. And that's your job, is to actually, you have to really think about the material and judge it. And try to get to a point where you think you see the truth. I mean, that's the whole game, is to look for truth, the things that ring true, and to edit out, you know, the superficial. And so, you know, if you're doing an emotional thing, something that's emotional to yourself, you kind of have to look beyond that, and you have to think of the people who aren't emotional about this thing. And then you have, at the same time, you have to think of the people that are crazy emotional about the thing. And you have to try to satisfy both. You always have to try to include something for everyone. Mm-hmm. You're not always successful, but that's what you try to do.
Winning the award as filmmaker of the year, how much, if anything, does it mean to you to win an award like that?
Well, you know, the best reward is to know that people are watching your better work. That's really the best award. It's really great to be recognized. And then, you know, I'm in a line of people who've been recognized by that award. So it's just nice, you know, it's just a nice thing, you know. Because, I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but it's like publish or perish. It's that kind of thing. So, you know, what I did last year, you know, was great, and that's my past. But now I have to do something else, you know. And I've never gotten to the point where I'm just going to sit back and say, you know, well, I did all this great stuff in the past. Isn't that enough?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're working on now.
Well, now I'm working on a documentary about the issue of children and poverty in West Virginia. And it's something, here again, I'm beginning with the people who I think are just incredible experts on the topic, and letting them give me their best analysis, you know, and that's kind of the basis of that, of the documentary. Then after that, I'm looking for a group of brilliant children who have incredible self-knowledge and who can tell us about it, you know, who are good talkers, good storytellers, and generous enough to let us into their lives, you know.
And could you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how it will be packaged? Do you see this is going to be a half-hour film, an hour-long documentary?
This will be a one-hour documentary, and it'll have an extensive web presence. And who knows, we might even be into interactive by then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm kind of dense about things. And one of my dense, I'm kind of dense in that I always think when I approach a new project that I'm not going to follow a format. I'm beginning from scratch, and I'm finding a new form for each documentary or for each program. And so I'm dense that way. I don't want to follow some kind of already traveled road. I want to create something new, a new form.
Yeah, and many would argue that that keeps you fresh, forward-thinking, you know, adaptable to the changes in the art itself. So dense, do you feel that dense would be the right word to say that? I mean, when you think of dense, that sounds like a negative connotation, but thinking like that seems to me, and I know it would be to other people, that you're always trying to find something new for your art.
It's the hard way of doing it. I mean, it's much easier if you follow a formula or a format.
I understand. Just a few more questions, John. One, something else that I wanted to ask you is if there was anything, any sort of film or project in particular that you feel you absolutely must do before you either retire or choose not to retire. But is there something in particular, you know, a film that you absolutely must make that you haven't done yet that's been, you know, milling around in your head for quite some time? Is there anything like that that you could share with us?
Well, I don't know if I should give it away. One film I'd like to make is just a big look at mountain music, the traditional music in West Virginia. I mean, you know, if we, what I, my rap has always been, you know, if we were in New Orleans, you'd see 20 documentaries about Cajun music. You'd go everywhere, you'd hear Cajun music, and, you know, mountain music is, or, you know, old time music is West Virginia's music. Mm-hmm. And we should have a lot more respect for it. It should be everywhere, and everyone should know its history. And the practitioners, the people who brought us this very old music, should really be on a pedestal, I think.
And you made a film about one particular person who had a significant contribution to that, Blind Alfred Reed. So do you feel that a future film would be more, what would the right word be? Expansive in terms of the origins of the music itself.
Yeah, it would be about old time music, not about bluegrass. Bluegrass would play a part in it. I mean, it would be probably based around the Hammonds family, and, you know, things radiating out from them. But there were incredible people, you know, that were still around when I first started. And it's too bad we didn't shoot more of them, you know.
Yeah. That brings me to one last point that I wanted to make. The role of the filmmaker as a historian chronicling the history of a culture and its traditions. You just touched on it with the Hammonds family and how, and chronicling old time music. How do you see the filmmaker as a historian? What role does a filmmaker play, and what obligations does a filmmaker have, a documentary filmmaker especially? What role do they have, obligations do they have in chronicling the history of a period, a culture, a region like ours, like Appalachia?
Well, they should try to capture their times. And you can get this perspective just by trying to do a historic documentary yourself and looking back at what filmmakers, like say in the 1930s, shot. And you're so thankful when they shot everyday life. Like, you know, someone walking to the library or, you know, somebody doing something very ordinary, you know. So I don't think we do enough of that right now. I don't think we're capturing enough everyday life. And with reality TV, it's really skewed. Because that ain't everyday life.
Well, John Nakashima, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. And congratulations, West Virginia Filmmaker of the Year.
Yeah. Thank you.